Well, I wondered whether we would have a Zacchaeus up the tree, but I think this is more difficult to climb up these trees. It's a great joy and privilege for me to be here today. And we always enjoy coming back to Argyle. And it's wonderful to see what God is doing and how the work is progressing in different ways. Well, I read a while ago about a 12-year-old boy who had a hero. He was an English sports person, and he had his bedroom plastered with his picture, and he read everything he could about this hero. And then he had the great privilege of meeting his hero, and his hero enjoyed fishing, and this boy enjoyed fishing as well. So they spent the day together fishing. And then he realized that actually this hero of his wasn't quite as wonderful as he thought he was. And he said, the more I got to know him, the smaller he became. He might have achieved a lot in sport, but in his character, he wasn't such a nice person. He became smaller and smaller the more he got to know him. Well, there's one hero that never becomes smaller, and that's Jesus Christ. The more you get to know Jesus Christ, the bigger and bigger he becomes. And that's what this man said. He said, as a boy of 14, I got another hero, and that was Jesus Christ. And he said, for 40 years, I've learned more and more about Jesus, and he's got bigger and bigger and bigger. Well, I want to look a little bit at one of the letters that Paul wrote to the church at Philippi. Now, when you read Paul's letters, and they form a large part of the New Testament, you can see clearly his hero is Jesus. Now, when you read Philippians, you need to realize his situation. Paul is, first of all, sitting in prison. He's chained to a Roman soldier. He's restricted. Secondly, he's got people who want to make life difficult for him. They are Christian preachers, but they see him sitting in prison, and they say, now we'll take this opportunity and make a great name for ourselves and make Paul jealous because he can't go around preaching. And then thirdly, he could be executed at any moment. He's facing death. Now, how would you think? How would you feel if that's what you are facing? I know I would struggle with that. But when you read Philippians, you find that 16 times he speaks of joy, rejoice. The whole letter is just full of joy. He talks about peace in every situation. He said, I've learned to be content, whether I have little, whether I'm hungry, or whether I have plenty. I've learned to be content. So here he is sitting in prison, and he's at peace, he's contented. And he says, I don't really care about these other preachers. All I want is for the gospel to spread. I'm not envious of them. I want the gospel of Jesus to spread. So it doesn't matter. And actually, if I die, I go straight to be with Jesus. I've loved him for many years. I've served him faithfully for many years. But now I go to be with Jesus. So death is not a terrible thing. It's a doorway into an even better knowledge of Jesus. So he's Paul's hero. Mark read earlier from chapter 2 this wonderful, probably a hymn that Paul takes, which describes beautifully what Jesus is like. And he said he was in nature God, but did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. He made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. So here you have God, who created the world. He humbles himself and becomes a servant. He doesn't take advantage of his position, but he becomes a servant. So Jesus was born into our world. He came to serve us. And then he goes even further. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Now, for people reading that, it's shocking. Even death on a cross. Terrible physical pain, terrible shame, because only criminals were crucified, but also for a Jewish person, this means he's cursed by God. Even death on a cross. That's how far Jesus was willing to serve. He sacrificed himself for you and me. So here is Paul's hero. He became a servant. He sacrificed himself. And then, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God raised him from the dead. He ascended to his Father's right hand. He is exalted. He is Lord now. So here is Jesus, the servant. Jesus who sacrificed himself. Jesus now exalted. Now, I don't think there's anything greater in the world than that. Here is Jesus who died for your sins and my sins. And his cross covers all our sins, all our wrongdoing, every failure that we've been guilty of is covered by the cross. But also, he is Lord now, so every fear that we have, everything that we think, why is this happening to me? Every circumstance we face, he is Lord. He's in charge. We don't have to be in control. We don't have to understand. Because he is Lord. So we know that he loves us. He came to serve us, and he died for us, and he dealt with our sins. He has been exalted. He is now Lord. And it's no wonder that he is a hero to Paul. And he's been a hero for people for 2,000 years, all over the world. Jesus Christ is the greatest hero. But he goes on in chapter 3. Listen to this. Verse 7, whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Here is the Pharisee Paul, who wanted to live according to the law, and he felt that that was how he was accepted by God. And he says, all that is rubbish. I can never gain acceptance with God through all that I do. And these are wonderful advantages that he lists earlier. Wonderful things that he had, his upbringing, belonging to the right tribe, and being a Pharisee, trained in the knowledge of the Old Testament, zealous to serve God, and so on. He says, all that is rubbish. I was spiritually bankrupt before God. But Jesus has made it possible for me to be counted righteous before God, to be right with God. It's through faith in Him that I am right with God. And we know many people today are trying to earn favor with God. I need to do this. I need to go to church. I need to give money to the poor. All good things, but none of that will earn right standing with God. The only thing that gains righteousness with God is faith in Jesus. His death dealt with our sins. His life gives us that righteousness, right standing with God. But Paul doesn't stop there. He says, I want to know the resurrection power of Jesus. Even as I'm struggling in life, His power is at work in me. And then I'm looking forward to glory. And then he goes on to say, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. What Paul is saying is, I've come to know Christ, but there's so much more for me to learn. And I want to be a learner. I want to learn more about Jesus. And I'm like an athlete. I'm straining, doing all that I can to learn more about Jesus. I don't want anything to come in the way so that I stop learning about Jesus. And you know, that is a great challenge for any of us who are younger. Make sure that in your life, you put Jesus as your hero. And then you start the journey of learning about Him. And don't let anything stop you. He is the greatest subject you can study. Jesus Christ is the greatest subject. There are many other good subjects, important subjects, but He is the greatest subject of all. But it's also a challenge to those of us who are older. Maybe we've been following Jesus for 30 years, 20 years, 50 years, 70 years maybe. There's more to learn. Don't be complacent. Don't stop learning. There's always more to go. Press in. Be like the athlete, the marathon runner. Keep going. Keep going right till the end. So Paul is, Jesus is Paul's hero, and he wants to know Him. He's put his trust in Him, he's walked with Him, and he wants to keep on growing in his knowledge of Him. But the second thing that you find in Philippians is that he has become like his hero. Jesus is Paul's hero, and Paul has become more and more like Jesus. Paul becomes a servant of the gospel, a servant of the church. And so you have these wonderful letters that he writes. He is a servant like Jesus. He sacrifices his life so that he's prepared to die, even if it means imprisonment and execution. He's prepared for that in order to serve people that they can hear about Jesus. So he is following Jesus. He's becoming more and more like Jesus. And then he mentions two other people in chapter 2, Timothy. He says there's no one like him. Everyone looks after their own interests, but he's looking after your interests. He's a servant of other people. Many people maybe don't see what he's doing, but he's serving them. And then he mentions Epaphroditus, and he said he risked his life for you. He was willing to sacrifice his life in order to serve me and to serve you. As we close, I want to just share with you three people who have been my hero. I could name many, many more, but I'll just pick out three people. First of all, my father. As a young man in his early 20s, he went to Zambia as a missionary. And he went to a place which was in the bush, 40 miles from the nearest town. And he faced lots of physical dangers. It took them 2 days to go by bicycle into the town, and so they had to camp overnight in a tent. And the next morning, they would find the tracks of elephants and lions around the tent. So there were physical dangers. But also, there were dangers for his family. As was said earlier, I'm one of five boys. And one of the government officials came to my father once, and he said, you'd better go back to Sweden, because it's not easy to live in this climate. At least two of your boys will die if you don't go back. And he said, no, God has called me to serve him here, and we are staying. Well, the five boys survived. Now, since then, last year, one brother has died. Two brothers are now facing Alzheimer's, suffering with Alzheimer's. But he said, no, I want to serve Christ. And when I look at his life, he achieved a great deal, so that in the area where he served, there are over 100 churches. He helped to translate the Bible into the local language. And then just before he left in his 80s, he was the final checker of a revision of the Bible. So he achieved a great deal. And he was also given an honor by the president of Zambia for the work he'd done in schools and with the Bible. But that's not the greatest reason why he's a hero. It's his character. He never gossiped about other people. I know that there were situations that he was going through a difficult time, but he never gossiped about them. We didn't hear anything about that. He just kept on. So he faced misunderstanding, and he kept on faithfully serving God. So he's my first hero. My second hero is John Newton, who wrote the song Amazing Grace. And he wrote probably well over 1,000 letters to Christians, helping them in their Christian life. He is probably the greatest letter writer that the Christian church has known. And they are wonderful, wonderful letters of encouragement. And in all of those letters, he is pointing them to Jesus, because Jesus was a hero for John Newton. He said, to know Jesus is the shortest description of true grace. To know him better is the surest mark of growth in grace. To know him perfectly is eternal life. A few weeks before he died, there was a young pastor who came to visit him. And this pastor had a little notebook, and he wanted to write down any important truths that John Newton could share with him. And so he wrote down something, but he wasn't sure what it was. And then as he was walking back along the street, he looked at it, and it was the last words recorded of John Newton. My memory is almost gone, but there are two things I remember. That I am a great sinner, and that Jesus is a great Savior. My memory is almost gone, but I will never forget those. I'm a great sinner, but Jesus is a great Savior. So he's a hero to me. We know that we are sinners. We get angry, we get annoyed with people, we fail to do things. There's a long list of things that we do every day that are wrong. But put that against Jesus, and it cancels everything out. He is a great Savior. And the last one of my heroes is John Stott. Now, he preached for many years in central London. He traveled around the world. He wrote over 50 books. And when he was 86, he preached his last public sermon at Keswick. And he said, "I've come to rest on this as the climax of the Christian faith." And he took three verses from the Bible. He said the first one shows us the purpose of God for every Christian, Romans 8:29, that we should be like Jesus. That's God's purpose for every Christian. We should be like Jesus. The second verse is from 2 Corinthians 3:18, that as we gaze at Jesus, we are transformed. We become more and more like him. The Holy Spirit works in us to make us more like Jesus. And the third verse is from 1 John 3, verse 2, that when we see Jesus, when he returns and we see him, we will be like him. The work will have been finished. God's purpose fully realized. And then he closed his sermon by asking the congregation to join him in a children's song. Like Jesus, I want to be like Jesus. I love him so, I want to grow like Jesus every day. Now, it's a very simple song, but that was the heart of John Stott, to be like Jesus. And so Paul, he says in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ. Christ filled his mind, gripped his heart, and to die is gain. I go into the presence of the one I've loved. And so my challenge is, have you trusted in Christ? Have you put your trust in him? Don't trust in your own abilities, what you've achieved. Have you trusted in him? If you have trusted in him, are you growing in your knowledge of him? And as you grow in your knowledge of him, are you becoming more like him? So that people can see something of Jesus reflected in your life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for your great love for us. You were willing to become a servant in order to serve us in our great need. You went to the cross and died for us. You reign now and you are interceding for us. You want to supply us with all that we need for every day. Help us to follow you. Help us to follow in the footsteps of Paul and Timothy and Epaphroditus and John Newton and John Stott and many, many other people. Lord, help us to know Jesus more and reflect him to the world. Amen.